Welcome to Ecclesia Principles, a biblical strategy for restoring America, with your host, Ray Eppert.
Have you with us today? And today, the focus is going to be on the issues that will be shaping the midterm elections this fall. Those issues are beginning now to come front and center. We discussed some things that were written in some articles back about a month ago about some things that would actually be shaping it. One article said that in a couple months that President Biden would have an uptick in his popularity. Well, unless they know some event that's going to be happening, then the only thing that they could be aware of would be how things are going to be covered. But with the events of the last few weeks, the midterms are beginning to shape up. That race that will determine the likelihood of the majorities and the size of the majorities in the House and Senate, it's all into play. I mean, particularly the House is what I should be saying. And with that, the leak a couple weeks ago of the potential, because again, it's not confirmed that that's the way that it is going to be, the potential overturning of Roe versus Wade is becoming a major issue. Just in our own area, this week in the state of Virginia, there have been scheduled a number of protests about that issue. And I'm sure that is probably happening throughout the country. It's probably a real push this particular weekend. And with that, I don't know if you heard about it, but there was a center in Wisconsin that was vandalized, and a lot of destruction took place there. And from what I understand, I didn't see it, but it was reported that there was a phrase written on one of the walls: God, if God could kill his son, then we can kill ours. Wow, what a comment to put on a wall like that when you do that. Again, that's not pro-choice, it's pro-abortion, is really what that comes down to. And one of the things that we need to see and understand is in that situation, when that's the comment that is put on the wall, if God can kill his son, if it's just pro-choice, then the whole spiritual component doesn't even need to be referenced. They could just say, well, I believe it's my right, and go with it. But you see, we've said this before, the divide that is happening right now in our country is ultimately coming down to a divide between those who want to follow God and want God involved and those who want no part of God. Eventually, all the issues that are being debated, everything that's being pushed, people getting irate over, more and more, you will see that divide going to God or anti-God, Christ or anti-Christ, for Christ, against Christ. That is really how that issue is going to go. That's how ultimately all these issues are going to be divided, because that is the spiritual dynamic that is at play in our country, in our nation today. Now, with this, Roe versus Wade, one of the things that, you know, with Ecclesia Principles, God's rules for government, when you look at the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, ultimately, all questions, when we think of it in these terms, comes down to whose jurisdiction is it? The term jurisdiction means lawful speech, or who has the right to say. If they have the jurisdiction, then they're the ones that have the right to make the decision and to make the call. And in this, when it comes to the subject of life, now God did give civil government Genesis 9:6, the right of capital punishment. But beyond that, the power to take life has not been given to man. The only exceptions you could say to that is when there's a choice of you have to save this one or you have to save that one. And choices have to be made in those situations because of our limitations. But beyond that, it's not in our jurisdiction to make that call, to make that decision. And the pro-choice, if you would, is saying that the mother, with a right granted by the government, has the right to decide. Whereas on the other side, God said, and the Declaration of Independence says, that one of the unalienable rights is life. And I was reading this past week, there was someone responding. Dr. Tim Clinton put an article out that said that biologists, that the overwhelming percentage of biologists believe that human life begins at conception. And there were those who, oh, yes, absolutely. Others, well, you know, that's ridiculous. And in that, one of the people made the comment, and they said, when a fetus, an organism, doesn't have the ability to survive on its own, then it requires the consent of the host to be able to continue to live. And the right to make that choice has to be given to the host, which in that case is talking about the mother. But all of the terminology, and this goes back to some things I've said for decades, is the approach to the whole pro-choice movement. The further it is pushed, the farther down the road they get. You see, this is why Maryland actually presented in their legislature for a mother to be able to give birth to a child, wait 28 days, and opt to kill it. That was actually voted on. And, you know, the concept, well, if it can't survive on its own, that is a major open door to problems, not just for the unborn, but for those who are born, not just those who are young, but at any stage of life. Because what if they decide that this applies to everybody? And if you get to a point, you know, then who gets to decide and makes a choice about you? And so with this, we've got to understand this is a critical thing, and we really need to side with God in this. Stay with us through this break, and we'll be right back.
Jesus said, I will build my church, or ecclesia. Ecclesia identified those who were called out to vote on issues that determined their culture. Jesus expects us to positively influence our culture with equality, liberty, and justice for all.
All right, we're back. Now, in this particular segment, something else that has begun to make news. There was a movie in the theaters a little while back, and it is now being circulated in some cases just by a link that's free to watch and so forth. And that is the movie by Dinesh D'Souza, 2,000 Mules. Now, if you're unfamiliar with that, the basics of that movie is that there were approximately 2,000 or so people that during the 2020 election, that they either were tasked or chose to distribute to voting stations illegal ballots. And There's actually video footage of some of this happening. Now, there's two things that I want to say about this. Number one, what it takes to prove something in the court of law is a different standard than just whether or not something is true or not. Now, it would be wonderful if some of that was the case, but there are standards in the legal system. And there are some of these things that may never rise to that level of proof beyond a shadow of doubt. However, on the flip side, there is so much evidence in this movie that has been presented, and the bottom line is there are a number of states that some of this came from, and they're looking at things. Now, here's the first thing I want to say about this, because, and again, some people may like this and some people may not, but the overturning of the 2020 election, I do not ever anticipate. I don't ever anticipate that happening. Now, with that, I do believe, as with every election, not just that one, but every election should be verified of whether or not it had integrity. And with that, we have, over the last couple decades, and in all honesty, from the 2000 election between George W. Bush and Al Gore, there were things that I saw at that time, and let me just say, players in the game that I saw at that time, that I made a mental note. And during the course of every election since then, I have been watching for certain traits, for certain things to happen, to see if it is. And with each presidential election, I have seen an uptick in things that concern me about elections. Because some of the ones that were involved in that 2000 election, that whole everything down in Florida, that there were people that were involved in that their entire reputation was built around being able to manipulate elections. And with them having that position at the table, if you would, at that time, that, again, it didn't bode well as far as I was concerned. And I have seen things that I stay up to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning most of the time waiting to hear different things about what was going on in the election. And every year I have heard more things that concerned me than the previous election. And with that, you may or may not like the premise of the movie 2000 Mules. Whether you like it or not, I would encourage you to watch it. And because here's the thing, there's two things that we have to understand about elections. And that's this, that it should be easy for people to vote. And the bottom line is we got people fighting on two sides, and we should bring a truth together in the middle. It should be easy for people to vote. I'm for it being easy for people to vote. I'm for the early voting. And while I'm at it, I'll just say this. If you are concerned about election integrity, then the best thing that you can do is the first day that the polls open to do in-person voting, you need to be there day one. Because if you go there and in person, you do your ballot, you take care of it, then there is no way at that point that anybody can take your vote away from you from that standpoint. There are people, I know personally people who went to vote on election day and were turned away and said, no, you've already voted. Now, could that have just been a mistake or a glitch in the system? It could have been. But the bottom line is, I actually know more than one person that happened to. The bottom line is, when there becomes a pattern, it's probably not a coincidence anymore. And so with that, I'm not going to debate the idea of whether or not there is some level of fraud in elections. I believe there's probably been some level of fraud in virtually every election that we've ever had to some degree, and especially on a national scale. But what we've got to do is make it easy to vote and hard to cheat. Those two things we need to keep in place. Well, stay with us through this break, and we'll be right back.
Augusta Seed, your local Augusta County seed corn distributor since 1977. Producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed, buy local. Find them on the web at AugustaSeed.com.
You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppert, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
All right. I want to pick up where we left off in the last segment, where I was talking about we need to have it where it's easy to vote but hard to cheat. Because, see, ultimately in this, everyone, I'll put it this way, everyone should be for it being easy to vote for all qualified voters. Anybody that's for making it hard for those people to vote, I've got a question, I've got a concern about that. But on the flip side, anyone who doesn't really care if it's hard to cheat, I have a concern about that. The bottom line is, I I've not always voted for the winner in every election. And with that, I'm fine with that. I have my views. Other people have their views. Part of our whole system is that we have the elections. Let's make sure it is fair. Let's make sure it is honest. Whoever wins, they win. Let's move on from that. But, you know, that doesn't really seem to be where we have been for a while. You know, and I'll go back further. This, in all honesty, this is the first time I have mentioned this next statement. So don't think this is something I'm harping on. There are others who may have. This is the first time I have ever said this. But those who, with the 2020 election, well, we just need to move on. Well, for 4 years, once President Trump won 2016, even before it was all final, they were talking about impeaching him. They were talking, even the midterm elections, there were candidates that ran on a platform, if elected, I will impeach him. And then when they did impeach him, they said, oh, this is all new information. Give me a break. Some of those people that said that were the ones that ran on a platform of impeaching him. Even after the 2020 election, even after President Biden went into the White House, there have still been people trying to go back and do stuff regarding the 2016 election. You don't see it as much, but you still see it. So on some of that, I really have little patience for the concept. Well, we just need to move on now. That was an intense attack on an election for 4+ years. You have not seen the same approach to this. The approach to this is we need to make sure the election is legitimate. Let's look at the numbers. Let's look at the process. Not just trying to, in all honesty, manufacture a bunch of stuff. You don't see a lot of that, but it has been proven that that whole dossier that they used as a basis to talk about impeachment, it was connected to the Clinton campaign. that has become a fact that is little published. And those things matter. We've got to actually move away from the politics, right, left, Democrat, Republican. What we need to do is make sure that whoever wins won honestly and go forward from there. Both elections, the last two presidential elections we've had, the side that didn't get the president in the White House has said it wasn't right. The bottom line is we need to remove that type of situation, and the only way you can do it is by putting things in place. Now, there are some people that say, well, I'm not going to vote because my vote doesn't count. I want to talk to you right after this break.
Want to make a difference in your community? Check out cityelders.com or search City Elders Augusta County, Virginia. City Elders exist to influence government spiritually, politically, and economically so that life is protected, liberty is defended, Christ is exalted, and families can flourish. See about helping start a group in your area. You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppert, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
All right, we're back. This is our last segment. And at the end of the previous segment, I mentioned that to those who didn't think their vote counted, I wanted to address that. Now, with some of this, I'm just going to be giving some estimates on some things, and because different election years play out differently as far as voter turnout and so forth. And in this, and especially with the whole idea of, well, you know, the lack of voter integrity, well, number one, there's been a movement over the last year for poll watchers, for election officials and so forth, and that's a great way to take care of a lot of stuff. It does require engagement from people. But that isn't a bad thing. It would be best if we didn't have to watch anything. I agree. But that's not the world we live in. So we have to become engaged. But to your vote counting, and one thing I'll say that, you know, I saw it one day and I actually tried to go back and find it. But during last fall's election, prior to the actual election day, I read that one locality that the local registrar had accepted 300,000 ballots that didn't have a have the, you know, last four of the Social Security, and the poll watchers saw that, reported it, those 300,000 votes, those 300,000 ballots were rejected because they were illegal. Well, the bottom line is last year's November election, in the governor's election in Virginia, was decided by somewhere between 60 and 70,000 people. That 300, depending on how that would have went, if those were illegal, went one way or the other, it would have had a huge impact on potentially the overall outcome or even the perception of that outcome. So with this, that because of concerns about election integrity, a lot of people say, well, my vote's not going to count. Well, let me put this to you. In the United States, and I'm just going to take some rough, easy numbers here, there are approximately 300 million eligible voters. I'm not saying registered voters. I'm saying eligible. Citizens and above the age of 18. 300 million. Well, the latest statistic that I have seen says that about 65% of those are registered. Well, that's almost two-thirds. That would mean that there are 100 million eligible voters that are not registered to vote and do not vote. Now, with that, that means in a presidential election where when they reference, well, voter turnout was 60%, well, that's 60% out of the 200 million, which means that out of the eligible voters. It's not 60% of the eligible voters. It's only 60% of the registered voters. So you'd have to actually take a third off of that, which means out of all potential eligible voters, it was really only a 40% turnout, which means that roughly about 20% of the people, that's what the winner got. That would mean in a presidential election, one out of every five eligible voters is the one who decides who the president becomes. That increases even more to, quote, off-year elections, to where, because, again, those vary. Here in Virginia last year, that voter turnout was much higher than typical, but typically it's probably more in the 40% range. And so at that point, 40 plus, about 45 or so, a percent. So again, out of the actual potential voter base, then you're actually down to probably only 36% of the eligible voters, which means that roughly about 18% of the people voted for the guy that won. That's what was required, which that, again, you're driving down those numbers. And even further, when it comes to local elections, those numbers are even smaller. The bottom line is, because of lack of participation, every vote is even more important. Now, we see those numbers up in the millions, and what difference does mine make? But ultimately, out of the number of people, even in a presidential election, we're talking about one in five. And even in the congressional races and stuff, very often it comes down to a one out of eight potential eligible voters decide who is sitting in the seats in Washington, in the House and the Senate. One out of eight. In other words, that one person's vote carried over the other seven. Well, that's not right. People have to make their choice to vote. And so in that, your voice and your vote does count. And so when it comes to the fall elections, again, if you're not registered, you need to be registered. You need to get engaged. You need to get active. In local elections, there's a number of places that are having local elections. You need to consider whether or not you are a good candidate for some of these things. The bottom line, you need to find some place to get engaged and to get involved. There's a phrase that I've heard from a number of people. The only thing necessary for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing. You see, in the story of Goliath, there were two main characters. Usually we look at it as David and Goliath. But I want to draw a quick comparison between David and Saul. Goliath was the champion of the Philistines. He was a giant. If you would, Saul, who the Bible tells us was head and shoulders taller than anyone else in Israel, Saul was Israel's giant. He was Israel's champion. The only difference was when Goliath came out and made the challenge, Saul is sitting in the back, afraid. David, a teenage boy, comes out, hears Goliath, says, hey, I'll go fighting. Now, some people say, well, you know, Saul, the king's sitting about. I understand those dynamics. I understand it. But when Saul heard that David would go fight, he interviews him, tries to put his own armor on him, and then when David says, nah, I don't know how to use this stuff, decides to go out and fight, Saul is good. He's head and shoulders taller than everybody. He's good with sitting in the back and letting a teenage boy go fight a giant. Don't tell me he was just there because of position. His mindset kept him out of that. You see, The only thing, again, required for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing. Saul was doing nothing. He was driven by fear. He didn't want to engage. David did. I encourage you, engage. Get involved. If you feel you have the qualities and characteristics necessary for certain offices, pray about running. Get involved. It's necessary for good people to become engaged. God bless you. See you next time.
You've been listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard. Follow us on podbean.com. Also available on Facebook at Liberty Justice HQ and online at libertyjusticehq.com.